Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. You must listen to the open loops, a theme park for absurd beliefs and systems of integration between the mind and the creative spirit. Open loops.
Hey, not going to ask you to buy anything. Not going to ask you to support our sponsor. I don't want that. What I do want is to know if you like the show. If so, go to ratethispodcast.com/openloops and rate the show and leave a review. Again, ratethispodcast.com/openloops. I would greatly, greatly appreciate it, as well as would your hybrid brothers and sisters on the series Colony of Mars. They told me you haven't called. At least tell them if you like this show. All right, Looper. Your conscious mind is still wondering, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? While your unconscious mind is discovering where in the world you might not yet have found yourself, is now tuned in to your favorite late night talk show for the shamelessly fringe. It's Open Loops with Greg Bornstein. Conversations that bend. Hello, loopers. It's Greg here. Consciousness disruptor, cultural hypnotist, curator of experience, and chief looper. This is the show that covers it all. The esoteric, the mysterious, the magical, the hypnotic, the paranormal, the supernatural, the psychological, the fringe, the weird, the strange. And of course, our goal is to answer the deepest questions of them all. Who and what we really are. Now, you may not have heard in a long time what an open loop is, so I'm going to tell you that in just a minute. Just know, it's exciting stuff. You see, my goal in this show is to challenge your existing belief systems by sharing radically unique ideas designed to stimulate your unconscious mind and allow you to step into the highest version of yourself. That's what we need these days. We need more high as a kite by Ben. William Shatner doing Rocket Man. Great song. Check that out on YouTube. One of the most interesting performances of all time. And I'm gonna be high. Love Shatner. Okay, so look. What why all the buildup, huh? Why, for people that listen to the show regularly, why did I go through the whole thing? What? Well, because this episode is going to really challenge your existing belief systems. It certainly challenges mine. And the show we have on Thursday, similar vein, also pretty weird. I'm talking to Sol Rita Ontario. She is very widely known on YouTube. She has a magnificent Facebook presence and a magnificent spirit about her in general. From Australia, she is an international psychic, tarot reader, and communicator of beings from other realms, other dimensions. Now, look, I mean, if you've listened to this show enough, you know that I'm an expert communicator of beings from other dimensions at this point, 205 episodes in. I not even because I did anything, just because I talked to them enough, I suppose I can tell you quite a bit about these people who showed up to me in human form, at the very least, or creatures. They're not even creatures, beings, spirits. But so, Rita, look, something about her is very angelic. Something about her is very ethereal. It is very benevolent, loving, caring, dare I say, multidimensional. Yes, I've loved seeing Sol Rita speak at a lot of the summits I've done. She is a wonderful, wonderful speaker, and on the forefront of science and spirituality, which I love. I love when she's able to, in general, when anyone, but she does it so well. She's able to connect biology and chemistry and the things we really know to be true about the world, material reality, to the non-spiritual, something greater. She says that she grew up as a young kid knowing that her spirit was not of this earth. That's interesting to me. And it's much more interesting when she's still able to coherently piece together these ideas in a way that feels blissful to listen to and also makes you go, I think this person's onto something. I'm so grateful Sol Rita came on the show, because she is a great example of someone in the community that, you know, she's saying stuff that is objectively weird, right? A star seed, a walk-in, someone that comes to this planet and boom, just knows who they are. You don't have to age regress them hypnotically. She knew. She knew she was extraterrestrial. She knew at a young age. She speaks the light language. It's all very, very strange. Now, it might make you wonder if the host of this show can communicate with extraterrestrials. What does that make me? I'll tell you what it makes me. I'm a proud bar mitzvah from Massachusetts. That's right. I'm a man. Now, I mean, look, I did always feel like the rabbi kind of looked at me strangely, but that doesn't mean I'm an alien, am I? Or are we all? Sol Rita gets the answer to that. She gives the answer to a lot of things. The violence, what's the difference between ETs abducting you and leaving you marks versus the ones that love? How do we even connect consciousness to the realm of the extraterrestrial? Sol Rita is one of these people that, again, the way she puts things is just such a delight to hear. I mean, and I'll tell you for a fact, I was watching her on the Zoom call. I was there. I was tuned in, and I just could not stop listening. I did the trance thing. I went into peripheral vision. I mentioned that on the show. I was getting sucked in by every word, and that's a very special thing for a guest to be able to do so naturally. So I'm honored that she came on. I've been waiting a long time to have Sol Rita Ontario on, and I'm so happy to share this with you. Enjoy. Today on Open Loops, international psychic and tarot reader, someone that is also a true starseed, if you will, ET and UFO communicator, a wellness expert. She's on YouTube. She's passionate about superfoods, biohacking, neuroplasticity, the health sciences, and just really, people really resonate with this lady, this spiritual being, if you will. Sol Rita Ontario, coming to us from Australia. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Greg. It's just a beautiful joy to connect with you and your audience.
Yes, you really do. People really do resonate with you. And it's interesting because, I don't even know. I mean, look, so Rita, you seem like such a from all the sort of various summits that we've been on together, and the way we've crossed paths with different people in the spiritual community, you always seem like a very you do seem like a very genuine light soul. There are some psychics out there. There's some people out there that I'm like, oh, they are just pushing. They are pushing the readings thing. They are like very much pushing it. But I feel like you don't have to do that much. And yet people really resonate with you. They want to sign up for readings. And, as you were telling me before we booked, or before we started, rather, you're booked out until May. I mean, have you thought about that at all? Do you feel that you are speaking to a different frequency than a lot of other psychic influencers are out there?
Yeah, I guess we all been through like a multitude of different gifts and skills and things. I love to work with soul missions, but I also really work and operate my readings to try and quantum jump people from, wherever it is that they might be stuck into looking into, okay, what's keeping us in that fixed state? What's keeping things stagnant? What is it that we can do to activate and jump us into like a higher quantum realm of being that we desire to get to? I'm also highly passionate and a geek when it comes to natural medicine and the psychic senses. So it's something for me that it just, my heart sings and my brain goes crazy when I get to talk about it. Like, you just can't shut me up about that topic. But in terms of being, with the psychic side of things, I really, my, if I look at it like a radio, my frequency where I'm kind of tuning in and everything is really to do with the supernatural, to do with like the ascended masters and beings and the ETs, especially. On my YouTube, I've got a couple of UFO videos that I filmed, and I've been a contactee my whole life. So I feel guided to help those that have those sorts of experiences. So I'd say in terms of the psychic side of things, that's kind of what I embody.
Well, let's talk about that. That's really interesting, the contactee thing. I was curious about when all of it started for you. I mean, when did you well, how about let me ask you this. What came first, the psychic or the UFO stuff?
It's kind of like a one and all package. And it's really funny because as we talk, I also get higher guidance come in. And it's really interesting because the way they presented it to me just then, or the way that I sort of had a vision, was if we look back into like the earth side of things, it's always been there. But it's more me feeling more ET, having a human experience down here, if that makes sense. Like, I more resonate with that. And I know a lot of your listeners that are into all of this will definitely resonate with that as well. That a lot of us, as much as we're learning about the ET side of things and the human experience, it's the ET part of us that's having, the human experience. So it's learning about boundary setting. It's learning about what does it mean to be a sensitive soul in a world that's not quite built for that? We're used to being in these other worldly spheres where we have telepathy, we have empathy, we live in beautiful places that are pristine and pure and untouched by pollutants and toxins and oppressive energies and things like this. So I kind of feel like the psychic side of things feels natural, as does like the ET thing. It feels probably more like home to me than the human aspect.
That's interesting. So do you have, because I was speaking to someone last night, lives in New York City, very much told me that he's not from here. Him and his wife were on the show, and they were just talking to me and saying, yeah, he was a conscious walk-in. Knew when he was born that he wasn't this way. As early, it wasn't the because you do hear a lot with the star seeds that there is a sometimes there's the there's a that you have the amnesia and then you have the awakening. Did you ever, I mean, was there a period of time where you ever thought you were just a human being, or did you always know? What was it like growing up?
Yeah, so the earliest I can remember back to is age 4. So a lot of my ETE contact experience, a lot of, I guess, like psychic visions and different awakenings and weird quantum time loops and falling into void space and all sorts of cosmic kind of journeys really centered around that kindergarten age for me. So I've always felt different, always had the guidance from my guides to when I was younger to not really talk about it so much. And I
Yeah.
think it was more that they were protective because the world was not really built to understand, I guess, souls like myself back then. We're so lucky now that we have, such a expanded state of consciousness when it comes to having the language to describe what it is that we see. But for me, there was that feeling in kindergarten about if we talk about this stuff, we'll get locked up. So I have always been very blessed in terms of like with my team and my guides, really just sort of buffering me and letting me know like what step to overstep and when to kind of. Yeah, so for me, I feel, I don't know, like the human experience feels secondary. English to me feels like my second language in terms of I'd much rather speak in light language and rather speak
Yeah.
like the language of the soul.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we're gonna get to this whole light language thing because I've always wondered about this. But when you, first of all, I need to know, what does that mean, falling into time void, time loops and voids? I mean, what is that? What is that as a 4-year-old? That sounds very intense. Wait, can you describe that at
Yeah.
all?
And so that's where I guess I knew that I was not 100% kind of normal in terms of whether we call it like neurotypically normal or kind of like wired for the human experience. So even
Right.
on like a brain level, I'm dyslexic. I would say I would fit into the category of ADHD, which is attention dialed into a higher dimension. I love
Yes.
that that's the acronym for that. But yeah, even having these cosmic experiences at such a young age and having questions on how does the universe work and sending my mind and consciousness out to go explore the universe even at that young age. So there was one incident where I remember laying in my parents' bedroom and it was a weekend and the sun was shining in, they were already up, and I was just looking at the dust kind of floating in the sun. And I remember feeling this level of consciousness of where my body became very physically heavy, and the energy of which my soul was oscillating at was just like raising in frequency. So it's almost like you're feeling this separation between physical and quantum. So it's essentially going out into the quantum universe, and you feel that kind of fall on you almost as this heavy impounding energy. But you know that if you let your consciousness go and be one with the universe, that you might cease to exist on a physical level is kind of the feeling that comes with it. Now
Yeah.
it's really hard as a 4 or 5 year old to have the words to put that into English of what you're experiencing. But when we go into void space, when we sort of go out into that quantum where and it's interesting, Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about this, that when we open that door to quantum reality, we can't take no body with us. And it's not the bad English side of it. It really is our physical body, we can't actually take into the quantum world. So we need to learn how to get out of body, step more into the realm of quantum and energy and chakras and this astral body and these higher levels of mind. And when we do this, this is where we can connect with higher ascended beings. We can connect with our higher self, with God, with the universe, with positive ETs and different things like this. So we can also access, if we go into void space, various questions as well.
This is a I mean, that must be a lot for a kid to be able to astral travel when you're 4. I can't imagine that you're already trying to figure out I mean, look, but then the other thing is you said that you're more connected to the astral side of things than figuring out this, because look, I mean, I gotta tell you, you're kind of just, you're still trying to figure out potty training. Maybe not around 4, but I'm saying, like, okay, yeah, you're trying to do this human stuff, and then you have this astral travel thing too. I mean, how does that gel for you? Do you recall trying to make sense of reality?
I remember being quite an inquisitive child. My parents always said that I was forever asking questions. And we used to do
Yes.
big trips in the deserts over here in Australia. And we'd be traveling for sometimes like a week or two in the middle of the desert. My parents were like, "You are always asking questions." Like I remember getting told where babies came from. And I'd be like, "Yeah, but where do they come from?" Because I'm like talking about on a soul level, like how does the soul incarnate? And
Yes.
but not having the words, just asking the question, yeah, but where do they come from? So it was more I was like asking the question from a child's point of view, but having an understanding that it's not just a merger of physical bodies that are taking place. So for me, I guess I've not really grown up knowing any different. I've
Yeah.
just known that I was different. And I know a lot of the star seeds out there feel the same, that it's almost like we're being dropped off here on Earth and trying to make sense of this human experience. And I used to think that it was to really come in and help and really be here for this shift that we're seeing at this particular point in time, not just for the planet but for humanity. And it is about that, but it's also being that ET or light being that's come in for a human experience, that it's, most of the interdimensional experiences or multidimensional experiences aren't really in physical state. So what we're getting to experience in the here and now is such a rare thing that I really look at it through a different set of eyes than what I would have as a child.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, gosh, before I got into this, Sol Rita, I knew that there was a big movement for people to believe, see UFOs, and that was one thing. And then there was the people that were abducted, that was another community. But this notion of connecting it to consciousness, the idea that it's happening at another level of consciousness, and it's almost a it's a calling for people to connect to a multi-dimensional level of existence. That was new to me, and I still think it's it's I think some people are waking up to it, and I think people wake up to it in different ways, but I for those that might not get it, I'm curious how you would explain it. How do you think that connecting to these some would describe as off-planet beings connects so well to the human experience?
Oh gosh, that is such a great question, Craig. And there's so many different directions I would love to answer it from. So I guess from my personal experience and being an ET contactee for all of my life, and a lot of my experiences are very strongly around that early age. Is like when I remember, different teachers coming in terms of ET teachers and teaching about psychic abilities and how to use them. And what's interesting is I've had friends that have also seen me on board craft over the years, and it's gone from being in advanced studies on terms of like in UFOs and that to do with our gifts into going and presenting and teaching is what some of my friends have said. They've seen a shift when they see me on board craft. But it
Wow.
is also something that is multidimensional. So there is the aspect of some people having contact on the astral realms or on the spiritual realms. And then there's the physical, it's happening on a body level. So I've been an experiencer of all of the different types in that way. Even, waking up with marks on my body, waking up with implants, that appear on x-rays and then they're gone less than a week later on an MRI after I've zapped them and sort of removed them.
Wow.
And a lot of it I didn't probably understand well enough at the time. We're taught as children to fear the unknown, or we're taught that everything is the boogeyman. Whereas if we have that gentle guidance and we have someone to come in that can teach us about energy, which I, now do that for my children and things. I'm able to clear space. And so they've never really gone through what we would call like nightmares or had very many bad dreams, things like this, because it's a lot to do with the energy and the environment of influence around. So for me, waking up having actual physical contact with marks or my clothes on back to front or waking up with no clothes on, things like this were still happening. And still to this day, even the other week, had a physical experience where I've got like a little mark on the side of my just near my ear, it's like a little bubble. So sometimes there's typical contact telltale signs. So for me, sometimes it is waking up with like a little mark or a little implant. Throughout growing up as a teenager, I'd sometimes wake up with snake bite marks on my hips, which were to do with hybrid programs and hormonal monitoring. So some of them only have the ET component to do with the soul aspect of who we are. But we also have the hybrid aspect too, where there's physical traits and different things like that that aren't entirely human, which do tend to lend more towards the psychic side of things or the intuitional soul.
There's so many more questions that came up as a result of that answer, which makes sense. Including, you know, this idea of, I do think there is confusion in the ET scene, because I'm certainly confused about it. Actually, even that guy last night, I remember one time I met him once and he goes, "Oh, Greg, the Grays. Yeah, stay away from those guys. Those aren't the good guys." I'm going like, okay, so there's different classes in this. And I've definitely heard about, you know, the different races and all that. But how do you reconcile benevolent beings with implants and snake bites on you? I mean, what exactly is happening there that they do this stuff? And maybe it isn't benevolent. I mean, I don't know. Maybe those markings are okay. But I'm curious if for people that are, you know, wanting to go to the side where they're going, yeah, but the ETs are all loving it, we shouldn't have this fear narrative, and yet they're still doing some weird stuff with your body. How do you make sense of it?
Yeah, well, for one, I guess some of the contact weird abduction stuff is government-based or is like from place. So I guess there is that aspect of it too. From the other side of it, so one of the weird experiences that I've talked about maybe on a couple of other shows too is I remember seeing this UFO in my room, and I know there's a couple of others that I've met since that have seen things like this. It was like this small disc that about the size of a basketball, but like the circumference size. And then I remember seeing that in my room and just having this feeling. And traditionally I'd be like, all right, I'm getting up. I'm not going to sleep tonight. Now I'm going to go watch something to try and distract. So, you know, I used to try and fight a lot of it or try and stay awake. And so there was this feeling and this voice come over, say, "It's okay, just roll over and go to sleep." And so that's what I did, which was really more a hypnotic type thing. It was almost like this trance-like thing. And I felt deeply comforted. And I felt just this unconditional love and safety. And then I woke up in the morning to these three white lab coats next to my left side of the bed. And I hear the word, "She's waking up, she's waking up." And I'm looking at them with this feeling, because you get like multitude of senses sometimes. So I'm looking at them, having a feeling with these beautiful glowing lab coats going, oh, and it just realizes it's 2:22 on my clock.
Interesting. <I'm> yeah.
About, like heart and love and, you know, following that bliss. And I remember looking at them going, "You guys aren't doctors." And there was this giant needle being pulled out of my eye. So if that was happening in a, I guess, negative abduction experience, I wouldn't really be feeling like that love bliss state. I would be probably freaking out. But what they were doing was actually tuning my vision and actually upgrading the psychic senses. So just as you have like an iOS update, I was just experiencing a little bit of a tweaking with the psychic human integration side of things.
That is interesting. So they are, they're actively, you're an active patient. You're still, I don't know. I mean, are they ever, do you imagine, I'm not sure what the, I know there's some people out there that talk about, you know, having long conversations with their ascended masters and saying, "Hey, so Rita, you know what, let's talk about this. There are going to be times where I come into the bedroom at night just to adjust. It's okay. We still take your insurance plan. It's, you know, that you're going to be fine." Have you had like a heart-to-heart, "Hey, this is our plan for you" with them? Or do you just get drops of different knowledge and it's really moment by moment?
So I would say there's always been a feeling or a sense of purpose and a presence with my path. So for me as a child, I guess the language I would have used back then has changed, but the original heart intent and the mission behind it hasn't. So it's always to have really have felt that magic and that beauty of creation and heart energy and wanting to sort of show others that this is real. So as a child, wanting to, you know, demonstrate to my parents that magic is real, that, you know, these unseen, beautiful beings that are, and I say unseen, but really they're just outside our visual spectrum. So that's why some of us can see them, is that we just have like a wider scope on the visual spectrum, just like we have microwaves and infrared just exist outside of the physical spectrum. Doesn't mean that they're not there. It just means that we don't perhaps have the equipment. So when I talk about this on a physical side of things, it's the peripheral vision that we usually have, the cones and the rods that view auras, that view these colors, these beautiful flashes of light that we see out the corners of our mind. Although the way that we're raised and the way that modern society works is to tell us that's nothing. It's not vital information. Don't pay attention to it. Go back to watch the news. You know, go back to watch the school blackboard or whiteboard or, you know, there's so much distraction. Whereas if we allow our children to develop and to stay intact with that beautiful spirit world, just like Rudolf Steiner talks about, we would really have such a different, more heart-centered, empathic, connected version of humanity. So we can see that the way that society or the powers that be have kind of corrupted things has taken us away from this natural state. So the way that I see and the way that I view things from a child has not really changed. I've always had that higher kind of appreciation for what humanity can be. And I've felt that it's a big part of my mission to help tap people into their gifts, to come into that space of where we are connected and feel that love and support coming in from those higher realms, because they've been here all along. It's just that a lot of people have taken some time to come to the party, and we've still got people joining the party now. It's just getting really exciting, because as a child, I remember it feeling quite lonely in that way, and a lot of other experiences, you know, express the same. So definitely, yeah, just the language, I guess, has changed around the mission.
It is interesting, right? I wait. I mean, we had this show in America called Once Upon a Time, which was all about the fairy tales and the origins of the fairy tales.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah. Do you ever see that show?
Yeah, I saw some of it. It
reminds me every single time I see our friends Stephen and Evan Strong talk about, you know, the solstice and this idea. And even, I mean, everybody talking about bringing magic back to the planet. And you have these ancient, you know, Michael Cremo of Forbidden Archaeology talking about the Vedic evolution of humanity. I am so reminded of that show, because it's the idea that the humans forgot the magic. The fairy tales forgot the magic. I'm just waiting for the day when all of a sudden, you know, I can, I'm putting my hands out there and boom, something starts moving. I mean, I don't know if it'll happen in our human lifetime. I'm hopeful. But is that a vision that you see? Or if not, what is it?
Yeah, so, and I love Stephen and Evan Strong. They're two beautiful people. And it was interesting because leading up to the solstice event in 2021, I think it was March that year, I started seeing these beautiful blue wisps. And they were like a blue kind of dancing ethereal flame. And I would see them around people that were in the heart center. Hmm. And I just kept seeing different clients that had particular purposes to do with the anchoring of ascension energy on the planet. And so when we were at Uluru with the Strongs as well and doing the activation, and we saw that blue flame energy of the portal open up between Katajuda and Uluru, that was what I'd been talking about, that was individually anchoring and activating around people. So it was that mass consciousness of about 15 million people worldwide that activated and helped that portal open, not just at Uluru, but also in Atlanta, Georgia. We saw the same beautiful blue energy in the sky and various other places around the world. And there was somewhere that I was going with that. Oh, that's right. So in terms of like when I look into the question around like the fourth dimensional density, so if we look to like the very old maps, like the really ancient ones, like Perry Rees map and even ones further on beyond that. And I love the channel on YouTube called The Woken Undead. He is an amazing researcher when it comes to the old maps, and his knowledge is just next level when it comes to exploring possibly the potential of what we're living on in the here and now. And we know that we've been indoctrinated into false belief. We're still fighting over flat or sphere or toroidal field. Like, there's so many different questions that are creating confusion, all designed to distract. But when I look into my connection with fourth dimensional beings, and also look into with my clients, some of them that have connections to fairy realms or into angelic realms, what I saw when I looked at it from that separation point, which I would say is our medieval period of time, where we used to see unicorns, dragons, griffins, you know, all of these other mysterious magical creatures and fairies and elves. What I saw was a layer, almost like a thick, heavy curtain or a velvet curtain come down over humanity that separated from that fourth dimensional density. So we really forgot that we were actually part of, you know, an interdimensional society, a society that was coexisting. And there was a real sense of grief and mourning that came from these other realms, in that humanity was forgetting their brothers and sisters that existed in more of like a gossamer kind of crystalline state. And we fell more into this carbon-based way that we are now. And it's not that we've really structurally changed or anything, but those spiritual lights that imbue and work with our quantum field were sort of like severed or cut off. And now with us shifting back into fourth and fifth dimensional density, which is more crystalline rather than carbon, we're actually starting to open up to these realms again. And there's just a level of excitement that's coming through from these realms. So we're seeing them more in photos. We're seeing people filming fairies and, you know, seeing the flashes of light or seeing the apparitions. And I know there's a few people that I know that are not really believers that are starting to actually see things appear in the room, or they're, you know, pointing out figure outlines of beings, and I'm able to like tell them what color it is, and they're like, oh my god, you can see it too. So we really do that curtain and veil lifting. And the biggest thing, because I know a lot of people, I want to know, well, how can I shift this? How can I like start to see and experience? And this is where my course that I will be putting out will really help with that. But what we can do is shift more into a heart-centered way of being. So this is a way that the animals have never forgotten. This is why we see cats and dogs see spirit, because they've never shifted. It's just humans, we forgot. So coming back into this heart-centered form of communication and really kind of viewing the world from this point. And on a very psychic senses level, we can take things like melatonin, which is like a bit of a squeegee over the third eye, to help kind of, you know, pineal gland. We can do turpentine pine detoxes. We can do TRS detox spray, which is a synthetic magnetically charged zeolite that helps to pull heavy metals out. So when we look to the pineal gland, it is piezoelectric. It's these little magnetite crystals that resonate in the body. So if we look at computers having crystalline or silicon chips and crystals, there's a lot of information, or like a transducer. So when we look to the pineal gland being a transducer, receiving information from these various other realms and from quantum, and whether it's like from the, you know, the realm of fourth, fifth dimensional higher energies, or whether it's the realm of the universe and higher intelligence, we're able to pull these messages down through the pineal gland, through the forehead, and really to kind of start to make sense of it. Now, the language of the universe is not really, you know, English to Spanish. It's more colors, vibration, sound, symbols, geometry. So we need to just get really good at translating. So this is where the heart comes in, to understand the way that the universe converses with us back and forth. Other things that you can take to upgrade the psychic senses, and I highly recommend my book that I've got. It's on Kindle. It's on my website, sorita.com, which is
S-O-L. Yeah, we will link everybody to that for sure.
Thank you.
We'll see if they can book you. We'll see. I don't know. She might be too busy. But yes, no, we'll link everybody.
Yeah, so there is the book for those that want to really stimulate the acupuncture points that activate the psychic senses, because my background is in natural medicine as well. So I've got a list of acupuncture points with a diagram showing you which points to stimulate, to flood light in. And I don't know, are you guys, is
That's
this a visual
awesome.
Podcast or is this just the auditory?
I mean, it's probably going to come out as auditory first, but you know what? We'll put this on YouTube.
So I've got a little book here, which is not so little. It's actually massive. So this is the Gray's Anatomy book. And in this book, we actually have, so if we look at our body being a physical computer, it's the hardware, and our spirit and soul is the energy that drives this avatar. So this connects in from the pineal gland into the brainstem, into the central nervous system, runs up and down our spinal column when we know that Kundalini is activated and circulates through this. So this is where our pranic tube is. It's where we sort of get that rush of feel good energy. All the chakras are plugged into this too. So it's our biofeedback from spirit into physical world. So the more that we can work with adjusting the sensitivity of this, we can also stimulate the psychic senses, which are seated in the sinuses. So I'll show you a picture of
the... Oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Amazing geometry connected to do with this. Let me just find it. So it's a hollow chamber. It's called the sphenoid bone. And I'll show you when we find this picture. It actually looks like a butterfly. So remembering a butterfly is a caterpillar in a cocoon that needs to actually break down into a genetic DNA soup in order to reformat to turn into a butterfly. So in us being in physical form, in order to go into spiritual, we must break things down, whether it's old emotions and things and belief systems that are holding us back from going butterfly mode or going into that next dimensional state. So here is a picture of what it looks like. And for those of you that are listening, it's a beautiful butterfly shaped bone. And it's one of the three floating bones in the body. And it's seven cranial bones that kind of come together. And when we even look to the orbital bone behind the eye socket, that structure of the other bones, I think it's seven behind the eye too, actually forms a pyramid. And the sphenoid bone, the sinuses, are two pyramids tip to tip, or the butterfly. So we have pyramidal energy in our actual skulls. So we're viewing through these like little energy transducers, pyramids, and the energy of what we're putting out. If we think about the sinuses being a hollow filled chamber, this is all about frequency. It's a resonator. Yes. It's also a chamber, like an auditorium, to vibrate and activate different things to come to life in. So the other thing that I want to show you connected to do with this, I'll just flick to this picture.
By the way, I am blissing out right now. I don't know what is happening. We'll get to this, but this is, I'm in like peripheral vision. I am just like, everything you're saying, I'm like, yeah, I see. I want to watch more of her YouTube videos. Yeah, like truly, I mean, this is fascinating. Oh,
thank you. And I just think that, you know, from my background in natural medicine, to me, when I was watching the teachers talk, it was the sacred geometry of the body that was just blowing my mind, that we have all of the codes and keys into this. So we can even see when we look at this beautiful picture. So there's a beautiful pea-centered part right in the center with a tuning fork on it. So this is the pineal gland. So if we look at this being that piezoelectric crystal with the little tuning fork on it, whatever we're tuning to on a psychic level, we can receive information about. And the other cool thing too is just even before we started the show, I got told to put in the words sphenoid bone, and I'm just going to bring it back up because I was playing with gematria. So when we look into the Jewish value of the word sphenoid bone, we get phrases that match the exact same number sequence with words like God's birth ID, most high God, is placement, prophet, happiness. My favorite though is God's DNA code info. So if we look to gematria being a language of the simulated reality, and it's kind of like a magic eight ball. So we can put things into Gematria to find out the interconnected nature. So what we're seeing is that with the sphenoid bone and where the psychic senses are seated, there's more information that helps us connect to who we are on a DNA level, who we are on, I guess, an intermediate between God and the universe as well. It's just, there's the mystery of who we are just keeps unraveling further and further. But I think it gives people a little bit of a general rundown into how we kind of operate as an avatar.
Oh my gosh, why couldn't you have been my high school science teacher? What the heck? this is I would have paid so much attention, because this is just, it feels so much more interesting and compelling, and I am riveted by learning about the potential of the human body in this way. I mean, I was going to ask you about the peripheral vision thing, because I certainly know that from my various studies in hypnosis and altered states, it is the thing. It's one of the best ways of going into a trance state. And there are a lot of properties associated with, I mean, even in, and I connected with the shaman, Aaron Fowler, about this when I recently did a presentation on self-hypnosis. He said, yeah, this is the same exact stuff. I mean, shamans talk about going into peripheral vision. I mean, do you, I'm wondering what would happen if people spent the days really actively training their vision to go peripheral. What do you think people can get from that exercise?
Well, I definitely would say you get more of an anchoring of these higher psychic senses. So for me, growing up as a dyslexic in school, I was forever in peripheral. I was forever looking at the whiteboard with the teacher standing in front of it, checking their aura out, because, you know, that white background's just so easy to see auras in. But I would also, so I was very much connected to that realm of magic, or that realm for the fourth dimension was not really so separate for me. So I also grew up in the hills, which helps, because there's a lot of fairies up in the hills too. But yeah, when we do put our attention to it, what actually happens on a brain level? So if we're looking at neurons, which are like the little nerve cells of the brain, and that, and they fire and wire together. So the more that we identify, or that we see the flashes out the corner of our peripheral vision, and it's so cool, like those cones and rods in your actual visual perception that are designed to see auras. So we do see it in peripheral. So the when you acknowledge that you see a flash, or you're like, oh my god, I just saw something, the little neurons in your brain get excited and they start to form little thick ropey pathways. So the more that you're like, oh my god, there's another one, another pathway forms, and another one, and another one. All of a sudden, yeah, your brain is saying that this is vital information to your experience of reality. So what we were told to shut out, what we were told to ignore as children, now becomes part of our experience and part of the information that we need to take in as, you know, as vital as whether it's, you know, taking in color or taking in other things like crossing the road and when looking for cars. It's now not filtered out by the brain. So we can set up and predetermine what it is that we want to filter an experience.
This is so cool. Yeah, no, I was going to say, I mean, you're the first person I've had talk about. I've had other people, and usually it's people talking more from a neurolinguistic or hypnosis perspective, talk about neuroplasticity and self-development and the way that new habits are formed. But this notion of connecting neuroplasticity to the psychic realm is something I've never heard about, and it just makes sense.
Yeah, and for anyone that loves to geek out over this, like myself and yourself, I highly recommend an interview I did with my good friend who's a neuroscientist and neuropsychologist, Dr. Lana Moreau. So she was on my YouTube channel a couple of episodes back, and we talk about quantum field, and we talk about the brain actually healing itself when it comes to PTSD, traumatic brain injury, ADHD, dyslexia, autism, Parkinson's, all different types of things. So what she surmises is that we have this quantum capacitor that sits in our quantum field or in our light body. So she says to me, and she explains it perfectly. She's like, the way that you see the aura, that you see things, because you're seeing people's quantum field. And to me, I'd never heard anyone. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is what it is.
That's right.
So she is incredible. She can actually fully heal, whether it's like autism or dyslexia, things like this. She's experiencing clients heal after 2 minutes, whether it's like doing 6 sessions of 2 minute cycles or whether it's doing 20, she's able to get Parkinson's patients to really diminish the level of shaking and that, that non-control that they've got on the physical level. She's got beautiful clients that have had autism or Asperger's that are going from, you know, that rocking motion, not really that verbal, coming and speaking and standing upright and being so eloquent and graceful in the way they communicate. So it's like she takes that kinetic energy that's really kind of in a jumble, teaches you how to connect with who you are on a higher level, and it straightens everything out and you connect to that divine template. So she does that through a really cool software thing that she's got, like a headband, and you do a little bit of training with your own brain, and it's really your brain starts to come into harmony and into alignment and correct itself.
I am so fascinated by the mind and the possibilities here. I mean, this is, it's really remarkable stuff. And Solrita, I also saw that you just did an episode on cryptocurrency, which I went, what in the world? If she's getting into this, then we better pay attention. I mean, is there, what are the ETs saying about crypto?
Yeah, so for me, when I look into it, and this is something that I'm still very newly involved in, because my life is really dedicated to the psyche senses side of things and to teaching. My partner, he's done a little bit of crypto and we're interested in it from that way. And even when you look into gematria and you start to look into, playing around with your name in terms of like different phrases around wealth. When I did my name, it really told me to invest in gold and silver and copper. It blew my mind when I started to play around with gematria and asking about like how to create or grow wealth with various different phrases. But yeah, with the crypto side of things, it does, and I've heard other people say this as well, that it does seem to be more of like an ET currency side of things, or a new way to kind of get us out of that old system of the big banks, which we know all go fund and help other people to profiteer through war and things like this. So it's not really like a peer-to-peer based thing. So yeah, I'm just starting to get into like the crypto side of things, and interviewed a good friend, Litecoin Lisa, or Lisa Litecoin, just on YouTube recently. And I've got a few other people that I'm chatting to in the background around different things. And I do get clients ask me on different cryptos, which, you know, being oblivious to what's sort of out there in a very physical sense, a lot of my clients love it because I'll see symbols or I'll see, different visions, and I'll be like, I'm seeing this color coin, or I'm seeing this kind of symbol. Or for me, I'm very much an empath, so I tune into the emotion connected to do with the creators, and I'm like, that intent feels not so good, or that feels like a very egoic intent behind that crypto, where I feel like there's more than one creator and there's a bit of a split between different currencies. Whereas others, I very much get that they're all for community and they're for setting up a better world. So that's kind of like what piqued my interest into the crypto side of things, was connecting kind of with the emotion of it as well. So really,
that's interesting. I was going to say, if your show, if all of a sudden I wake up one day and I see that Solrita Antaria is hosting this entrepreneurial podcast where she's like, here's where you need to invest, here's an NFT, I'm going to go, oh gosh, what happened? What dimension is she in now?
I'm just sort of starting to get into more like the language of NFTs and things as well. But yeah,
I mean, there's no way you're not going to bring this perspective to everything you do, which I think is interesting to people out there that are more, I mean, it's always, where's the money at? You know, I mean, how can we make more? How can we do this? That's where attention is drawn first, because that's where the media goes first. Yeah. But I do think there is a spiritual component to any structural form that a group of people are saying, we're going to tear down and start something new. I mean, it's an act of creation. Yes.
Yeah, very true. And it's interesting, because when I have seen, and not that I would know the names for these ones, but when clients have asked me, the ones that do tend to come up are ones that do have like an ethical background or investment. So just like in, I guess, what do you guys call it? 401k, I think, and we call it super. So just as like we can choose whether to put it into something that's ethical, something that's kind of like clean or green, or we could choose to put it into pharmaceuticals or things like that. There's a very different energy behind it. And what they're showing me, the energy with the crypto side of things, is the ones that do have that good intention behind it and do have kind of like a community-based energy or an energy that really is for a better and higher good. I do see sort of like more success with those particular types.
Yeah.
Just as like a general rule from what
that's
I've been
good.
Showing.
That's her investment. That's it. This is yes. She you heard it, folks. You can get stock tips from this show. You could get psychic information. I mean, this is so Rita's got it all for you. Wait, here's my question for you. Tell me this, because on the one hand, and this is where the crypto thing gets a little dangerous, perhaps, but I'm curious because I've also heard some people that I thought would be a little more wary of what I'm about to bring up say, no, this is all part of going into the 5D. So part of the whole movement towards the solstice, the ascension, getting in touch with magic is a calling towards being in tune with nature again. And simultaneously, crypto is often looped into Web 3.0, the metaverse, going to augmented reality, virtual reality, this idea that we're going to be even more distant from nature, maybe somehow connecting closer together, which, I mean, we wouldn't be doing this podcast if it weren't for the magic of social media and the internet. But, I think there is... in a way, I think there's a cognitive dissonance or just a dissonance in general with our calling to be more one with the natural laws of the universe, as well as creating this meta world that is totally disconnected from reality. So very curious what your take is on that, and if the Ascended Masters have thoughts about which direction we should go in, or if there is a way to bridge the two that's healthy for humanity. What is your take?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm just reminded of a vision that I had. Oh, it must have been like half my life ago now, actually more than half my life ago. So it was back to when I was around 18 and I saw this vision, and it was just this beautiful, almost like a wormhole portal opening up. And I saw this beautiful blue ET teaching the children of Earth, but the classroom was in nature. So it was almost this one-ment with nature and advanced technologies, and what the ETs were actually educating the children on was their full potential. So they were talking about their cosmic ancestry. They were talking about, you know, how to levitate things with their mind, how to work with psychic senses and telepathy and psychometry and telekinesis and all of the cool things that we see in sci-fi. But there was also this beautiful dynamic balance of being interconnected with nature and everything sort of existing harmoniously together. Now, if we look at, I guess, the internet being an extension of that or a lens in how to connect, and we can see this quite clearly. Some people use their social media to hate on others or to troll or things like that. And then we see others that are raising consciousness, that are having these deep conversations, like yourself, that are really like wanting to advance not only who we are and what it means to be human, but to advance like the direction of where we're going in the universe. So I think there's good and bad with all of it. I don't necessarily want to plug in and be a two-dimensional character in the, Zuckerberg metaverse.
Right.
but I do want to, for it to help me connect to others that are like-minded, or, I'm meeting soul group that are on the other side of the world that I wouldn't have met if it wasn't for the beauty of Instagram or the, Facebook and the internet. So I see it as a tool.
That's good. I love the optimism. I love it. I love it. This is the thing that people forget. People forget that it's a funny human thing we do, that how much control we have over the way we handle the circumstances that we're given. Now, that said, I mean, some might be, there are definitely people, and I know you've seen them because we run into those in the community that are utterly. It's tricky because on the one hand, some days it seems like they are preaching ideas that would fall under the category of higher consciousness. Psychic powers and they're aliens and all this stuff. But then on the other side, they're going, and it's all AI. China's controlling everything. They're shutting us down. We don't. And it's weird that mix of paranoia and it seems very low vibrational, mixed with also, yeah, I'm having my psychic reading. It's something I'm going. I mean, I don't know. I find that strange. And I don't know how much credit to give to people because at the same time, and what I mean is that I do believe there are things that are out of our control in the sense of I'm living in a reality where I'm using a lot of software right now to record this interview, and I know that the majority of that money is going to go into very few people at the top's pockets in a way that isn't benefiting the good of humanity. I'm aware of that. There is a structural thing in place that is causing a lot of injustice in the world that even my being like, yeah, but look on the bright side, isn't going to stop many people from having a bad life. But on the other hand, I'm going, yeah, but is there, I still believe in the power of the people and myself to move through life in a way to control my individual circumstances and to bring up others. So I guess that is a big thought there, but I'm curious, what do you how much of the victim are we in the world? How do we change it when we feel like so much political and social circumstances are out of our hands.
Yeah, and I guess that's where we can look at it in the way that it's being shown to me right now is some of us will look to like the ET side to be like the parent or to be the master or the guru, when really we are that within ourselves. So it really is about growing up in responsibility, growing up in the way in which we choose to enact in the world, whether it's emotionally responding with hate or anger or fire, or whether it's responding with empathy and compassion, we actually get to choose. So we're not just a situation or a set of our circumstances or what's happened to us in the past. We each have that present moment in time right here and now, whether to have cognitive dissonance and to be the victim, or whether we actually just go, you know what? I'm going to turn the news off, or I'm going to, put the phone down and actually come into present awareness of who I am. And I'm actually going to participate in choosing the direction of which I'm going for future. Because we do have, and what my readings are really based on is, where is it that's our best and highest good? What are the beings that are helping us work to achieve this journey? How can we tune in and align more with them and with our best and highest good as well? Or we can choose to sort of sit, do the same thing that we've always done and get the same result. So, we do need to kind of like grow up into the world. And that's what's happening with this transition. And I call it a fifth of Pisces symbol. It's like two interlocking circles. And before this shift happened, we were standing on the border of one circle, and everyone was feeling that portal about to open in 2021. Right, sort of like around that portal moment, we had a foot in each world. Now we're more so living in that fourth dimensional density, starting to see and have visions and experiences of the fifth. And then there's some that are still caught in the materialism of the third, which is the victimhood. It is not taking responsibility. It is still, the terrible negative things that we see on the planet and, wars and crimes and a lot of the judgments and different things, or we can choose to put our attention and focus on to personal growth. Because what I guess this 20 or the last couple of years has taught me as well is that, and this is what Stephen and Evan Strong talk about with the Hopi prophecy, that we have to at some point jump into this river. And they talk about that it's no one can actually go with you. You have to make that deciding factor to jump in the river. And I think a lot of us had been tiptoeing into the water, checking it every now and then, seeing if our friends are coming along for the ride. But, a big majority of us that have experienced massive shift have let go of so much of what we once had 2 years ago, whether it's friends, you know, family. There's been such like a parting of the waters and really sort of seeing this sea divide. But yeah, I definitely feel the more that, and I just had this come up in a session with a gorgeous client, what they were showing me was if we look at the body being water, and water holds, if we look at it from a cymatic point of view, water holds vibration, or we see the ripple effect of when we play sound into water or into sand, we see it form a beautiful pattern. Now, if we're holding a lot of emotion, because emotion impacts on water, if we look at Dr. Emoto's work in Japan, water molecules of emotion, you see the cymatic pattern of what that emotion ripples and causes in the body or in a petri dish. So if we're trying to create a better world or a better consciousness or to feel more fulfilled, but we're coming at it with polluted water or polluted temple or polluted emotion, it's like getting a cup and trying to pour pure water in, but you haven't washed the cup. So we've all got to go through this stage of purging and getting rid of the victimhood, getting rid of the, you know, not being responsible for self. And we need to actually hold ourselves accountable, realize when we say the negative statements to self, or even if you've got a beautiful partner that's opening, or a, you know, gorgeous best friend or someone close to you, or part of your soul tribe, you know, if you hear them saying something that you're like, hey, that's not actually a nice way to talk to yourself, or don't put yourself down like that. You know, there is that accountability that we're all helping each other with growth, but we've got to be the guardian on the threshold of the mind to clean out this cup, to make sure that what we're pouring in from the future is actually going to hold that vibrational crystalline resonance for where we want to go.
Holy crap. Whoa. That is so intense. I love it. I'm just like, wow. That wrapped up in such a nice bow and present. Which tells me this. I mean, and again, this just makes me very curious about your work as a psychic. Because I was reading that one of the things that you do with clients, and, you know, I know there can be readings and then there can be ongoing coaching relationships too, but I was very intrigued by this idea that the quantum jumping idea, the idea that you can have a session with someone and then also somehow get them past a block in a very effortless way, which to me and at least the tool set that I'm familiar with is there's a lot of interventions and conversationally hypnotic ways of working with the mind and whatnot. So similar kind of stuff that at least hypnotists promise. I was curious about that, but the other thing is it makes me wonder about what your sessions are like anyways, because usually when you think of psychic, you're thinking you know, okay, well, let's see what the cards say for, oh yes, you don't want to stay with this guy, oh well, this job is not going to be good for you. It seems as if you're doing something that is much more connected to even the present that they're presenting to you, yet you still would call it a psychic reading. So yeah. I'm curious how you for those that it seems like you're doing something different. What exactly do you, how would you describe your approach to psychic and tarot readings?
Yeah, and I guess that's so interesting because it's been something I've been reflecting on lately and been asked a little bit about. So there's something in the field that's coming in to maybe get me to rephrase it. So for me, using the word psychic, I didn't want that label. So when I was a lot younger, I was like early 20s, I didn't want that label. And I'm like, you know, there's just like this predetermined thing, like you said, and it's always, you know, to do with relationships and things like that. And I'm like, I don't feel that really encompasses what I do. Like it's part of it and it is using that skill set. But for me, it's more of like a soul reading. And it's funny because one of my friends, he's like, but your name's Soul Rita. He's like, Soul Rita. And I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even think of that.
Wow, so is that your real name?
So I told my parents when I was 4, so when I was having massive ET contact experience, I said to them the name that they'd given me, it's not my name. So I told them when I was 4, I was changing it. It wasn't until I was 21 that I changed it. So it was Casey Bailey and it just never felt like me. I actually felt like I was like just living this lie, and it just wasn't me. So when I changed my name, it was with the intent to really connect to who I was on a soul level and the frequencies that I was bringing through. So my whole life changed the week I changed it. It was like everything that I was came into full expression, and the opportunities opened up, and life just felt like it was a boat back on course, or back on, navigating with the stars and the constellations. So I've got a few examples of with the aura drawings that I draw. So I literally draw exactly like what I see around people. So here's another one. Yeah. So, oops.
Beautiful, beautiful stuff. I love these.
Yeah. So it's just very much like I guess it's like looking into the quantum field that's around someone. And to me, colors and symbols and, geometries and different things are a language. So when I see the colors, depending on where it's placed, whether it's like physical, mental, emotional, astral, spiritual, it will tell me so much about what the person's going through. So left-hand side is more kind of connected to their past and who they are, maybe on a deeper level. Right hand's kind of what we're pulling towards us, or where we're sort of moving. So I start out with the aura drawing at the start of all my sessions, and really sort of talk about energetically what spirit and what the guides are talking about, the meaning behind the aura is. We then pick cards more to confirm and clarify. And 98.98% of the time, the cards are saying exactly the same as what spirit is saying. So it usually freaks my clients out. And I love it because I just get so excited. I'm like a big kid at heart. That, I'm like a cheerleader for my clients and what's happening for them in their lives.
Yeah.
So it's just, yeah. And then we do the, so I've got half hour, hour and 2 hour sessions. The 2 hours are probably my most popular because that really is more the quantum jump session where we can look into niche into different areas in life and really look at, the things that they are wanting to change or things that they've got deep, deep questions about. But my clients come to me for that soul mission side of things. I do have, still the everyday questions around relationships and around work and career and what am I supposed to be doing? All of these things, because we're having the human experience, but a big part of it is really getting people into alignment with their soul mission and how can we, smooth out that path or transition into it and looking at the higher guidance around that. So with the quantum jump side of things, we do have where we need to also make the commitment to that. So I love it. I've got some beautiful clients that have regular sessions and we do work with them to kind of like keep, okay, what's the next level and what's the next level? Or some of them, they'll just be like, from point A to B and they're happy to go on their way and do the work and maybe check back in like, 6 months later or a year later. And some, it might be I see them every like 5 years. It really depends on the client and what they feel like. I just love seeing the journey and the transformation in the lives of my clients. It's amazing.
Oh my gosh, I'm so due for a quantum jump. I feel it. I feel it. sign me up right now. No, I mean, weirdly enough, I am sitting here going, you hear a lot of people talk about it. I've heard people talk about quantum jumping and how, so all of a sudden they were working their job and they committed to this thing that was aligned with them. And then 6 months later, they're making six figures. They retire. They're happier than they've ever been. And I'm sitting here from the outside going, what? Why is that not me? Wait a minute. Do I do something different? For those of us out there that maybe, I mean, obviously I think working with someone that can reflect on that is helpful, but do you have any practical tips that can get us more in tune with our most jumped self?
Yeah. And it's so cute because I just hear spirit say, get out of our own way. So more often than not, we're the one thing that's the result, and a lot of the time it's lack of confidence. And having worked a little bit in hypnotherapy myself and working with kinesiology and everything too, a lot of it comes down to if we could just work with confidence, that might be that one thing that gets us maybe 50% over the line, or 60 or 70%, depending on what we're really dealing with underneath. So there definitely needs to be a purging of the old. And quite often the card that comes up when we're dealing with this in tarot is the Hanged Man, which for me, spirit always gives me the Albert Einstein quote of, we can't solve a problem from the same level of which it's created.
I love that quote.
So, you know, to quantum jump, there has to be a change in mindset, a change in neuroplasticity, a change in heart, depending on what it is that we're manifesting. So if we can just look to even just working on confidence, if that's the one thing you can do now, meditate. I always recommend Paul McKenna's I Can Make You Confident hypnotherapy app, and it's on his website. If you play that for 2 weeks, morning and night, or you go see a hypnotherapist like yourself to actually really deal with issues around that, you're able to kind of choose to align with that better version of who you are, or that best and highest version, and to make those jumps and the leaps to get to there.
Yeah. What a world it would be if everybody was in their most confident selves. Yeah, that would be magical in itself in a way. I mean, it is really, you know, I know it's to climb the ladder, you have to go through gradual things. But I definitely think confidence is a big, sounds like it is. It's a big game changer. It really can take you very far forward. Okay, so look. What do you see? What do you see right now?
Yeah, just to add to that quickly, the other thing that's really coming up on a collective consciousness level, because not only do we cycle through different patterns ourselves individually, but we're also collectively going through a saga, or, you know, a particular age. So we're going into the age of Aquarius, or we're in it now. What's coming up for clients that have been through persecution, or been through where their psychic abilities have been shut down, to do with persecution or witch trials and different things in other lifetimes, there's a fear of being seen that's coming up. And quite often they're walking with the invisibility cloak. But if we want to have success, if we want to have beautiful flourishing relationships and psychic abilities, we need to, one, be afraid to not speak, not be afraid to speak our truth. Two, we need to be seen so that we can bring in that success. We can have the clients that want to connect with us. So it's really important to do that purging on the past life level as well as the here and the now.
Yeah. So basically you're telling me that this has to be a YouTube episode too. Okay, fine. So Rita, I will make this visual for the people.
Perfect. That'll be, it's just so well accepted, the visual side of things. There's a lot that goes on in the quantum field that we get to see that happens at the same time.
Yeah. Wait a minute. You know what? I have to get to this story. This has been on my mind the entire time. I want to turn back to something you said earlier, which is that you wanted your parents to believe in magic. Did you do it? Did you accomplish it? And if you did, how?
Yeah. So it's so funny because I remember, you know, being a young child and my father saying, you know, you've got to learn math. You just have to. And, you know, he's an engineer. He used to be a builder.
My dad's an engineer.
Yes. Yeah. So really, you know, high level of intelligence, very clever, on a very practical level, very hands-on, can fix almost everything. We'll drive into the middle of the outback for months on end, sometimes 2 weeks, not seeing another soul, him and my mom. And so he can, you know, spark two little wires together and solder the car if he needs to. He knows how to very much fix things. So his vision for me was wanting me to know math and wanting me to, you know, have the practical hands-on.
Yes, I relate to you so much right now. This is wild. Okay, keep going.
So yeah, not really being versed in that side, even though I'm very creative and good with my hands and making jewelry and things like this. To me, there was, I guess, wanting to make my parents proud, or to wanting them to understand who I was on a soul level. And so with me always believing in magic, and magic to me is the unseen realms, it's the quantum field. For me, when I guess, started to get recognition and was on TV over here, things like this, because that's a solid practical thing in my dad's terms.
Right. You know,
he was really cute, like recording it on TV and then like getting the family over to watch and, you know, appearing in newspapers, things like this. So that was, I guess, how I had to go outside the lens into their screen that they view the world in order to kind of show them that magic exists. So, you know, getting flown to Italy to go talk about UFOs and psychic side of things, you know, it was on TV in Japan. So that's in the box of you know, the reality of the way that my parents see the world. So for them, that was like, oh my gosh, well, magic must exist to some level. So I guess it's really, everyone's individually looking at things through a different lens. So for me, yeah, I do feel that like my parents actually got to see a little bit more of the magic and the essence of the world. And they're both incredibly proud of the work that I do, which is just, you know, it just makes my heart so happy, because that's all I ever wanted, was to be able to do what made my my heart feel alive and passionate, and for them to, I guess, have respect for that.
Yeah, that is interesting, because I'm going, oh gosh, I know that there's a level of me that feels like I have to prove something to my father. But I also know that, and I'm going, but no, that feels like maybe that could be the thing that is holding me back from accessing my full magic and going all the way into some of the things that I find interesting. And Dad, if you're listening, I know you love me unconditionally, but no, I mean, there are definitely set programs and things, and he's certainly much more of the traditional job that pays well. And certainly my family in general comes from that background, so I've always been a bit more artistically inclined, a bit of a rebel. So I do think part of the process is letting go of that. But yeah, for those out there that are like, hey, do I have to go on TV to prove my parents that magic exists? That's not what you're saying, right? Okay. I don't think that's what you're saying.
Yeah, and I think it's really, you know, for me, it was that energy of throw caution into the wind. So I went and studied natural medicine, which was kind of that intermediate between both worlds. Yes, right. It's a practical job and still more to my side of things, you know, being holistic and being natural. So for them, it was something that was tangible that they could understand. But then like letting go of all of that to really follow my passion that was there before all of this, it was a little bit scary for them. But it wasn't until, and the same is a lot for most people, it's not until you fully embrace who you are and your path and you really kind of just live it without worrying or care of what others think, that it really just starts to like set on fire. So there has to be that element of just kind of like peeling off the layers and running naked through the woods.
Yeah.
Or into the ocean. Yeah.
Right, right. Very interesting, Solrita. My gosh, there's so much I could talk to you about. I'm fascinated by the fact that you've seen fairies. Tell me this. Are fairies interdimensional beings? I mean, are they off planet? Are they related to extraterrestrials? Where do fairies come from?
Yeah, so I guess there's like a whole hierarchy of different things. I find Rudolf Steiner's explanations to be like quite good in terms of the spiritual realms and in terms of what it means to be like a natural clairvoyant, and what he sort of described as, you know, you can spend your lifetime working to develop these gifts of clairvoyance and different things. But I was quite lucky to have always sort of seen and experienced these other worlds. But as a child, there was always that feeling of wanting to see fairies. What I didn't realize was that a lot of the time, fairies weren't exactly like the ones that you see in the books, that they do mainly exist as orbs or balls of light that you see in amongst the forest or nature. So it wasn't until I was a little bit older that I actually saw more the traditional fairy, and it was only putting it out there and just asking to be shown a true fairy that I saw that manifestation into the fairy form, because it's much easier to exist as a ball of light. So it takes a lot for us to exist energy wise on the physical 3D material plane. When we look at the physical matter, it's about a tablespoon. So we're existing about 98% on the quantum reality side of things, and more right. In the finer spiritual vibrations. So when we look going into finer spiritual vibrations, less dense than our 3D, there's where we exist in orb state. If we look into the plant and animal kingdom, there's devas that look after each of the flowers, each of the trees. It's like a spiritual essence or energy behind each of these things. So nature spirits are kind of like one fine gossamer thread. Fairies and like elves and things like that are another density, or I should say fairies, and then elves and gnomes and things like that are a little bit more solid. It's just different dimensional densities, I would say, is one way to describe it.
Yeah. And then, you know, of course, to top it all off, we have to talk about this light language. What
Oh,
in the
yeah.
world? I mean, look, and certainly you must understand from the outside perspective. I mean, you know, these sort of be people are going, okay, wait a minute, how is this not gibberish, right? That's the default. That's what the skeptic mind says. It seems like it's gibberish. It seems so. I want some clarity around that. I mean, do words ever repeat? I mean, it does sound like there's something else going through you. I've heard you speak it. I've heard Leanne Curtis do it. So yeah, I'm curious, you know, what exactly, how would you clarify that for people to let them know that it really is this different thing coming through you?
Yeah, so if we look at normal, like English to Spanish or English to Italian, so like hola, hello, type of thing, or ciao, that would be like a two-dimensional word-for-word translation. And the way that I view light language is that it's like a packet of information. So like each word or each kind of frequency or sound is more full-bodied than a two-dimensional flat word. So it's like if we look at it from a fifth dimension. So if we look in the energy, a frequency, light, color, it imprints on the mind and embeds a different level of empathic translation and consciousness. So if I'm listening to the English language, I'm really listening and articulating with the mental mind, perhaps sometimes emotionally, you know, it can involve or invoke a certain emotion. But if I'm listening to light language, or I'm speaking it, or if I'm translating light language, because it doesn't have the barrier of, you know, country to country origin, it is something that is universal. And it is something that even in races where they don't necessarily speak physically, they speak telepathically, they will use light language as a form of healing and a form of deeper connection. So this, it tends to connect us more with spirit and connect us more with other dimensional realities. So yeah, it's not just like a word for word, but it's like a packet of information of light. And if we tune into almost like a meditative state and we let it speak to our consciousness, we let it speak to our body, it resonates and vibrates in different ways. So a lot of people report that the ground falls away from them and they feel like they're standing in the middle of a galaxy. Or they'll see different colors or different things or experiencing shifts within different parts of the body or different sense of knowing or visions. Sometimes they move to tears. Other times they're activated and they end up really opening up and tapping into their own form of light language, which can be self-activating. I do feel that it really helps us to activate and actualize our higher DNA and more turn on like little ET codes in the DNA, because yeah, there are a few hybrids walking around too.
I was going to say, how many of us are, you know, I mean, you said you're from off planet. Do you feel what percentage of the Earth is actually, are we all ETs? Are some of us just totally manufactured in labs and fakes? There's also the, you know, the non-player characters, the NPCs, the soulless being. I mean, yeah, what is the breakdown of what's happening on this planet?
Yeah, so I guess not being a mathematician, I'm not into the like the actual statistics behind it, but
Yeah.
I do feel that all of those things are true. Like I feel that if I look to it from an Aboriginal original side of things, their creation story and a lot of the other races here are that we were seeded from Pleiadians. I do think that there's been outside influence and tampering and different genetic manipulation of our DNA and our gene codes. I myself, even as a young kid, experienced a lot of interaction with ant beings and mantis, as well as like Pleiadian, Sirian, you know, Lyran energies, cat-like beings. You know, the list goes on and on for the different types of species out of planetary that are so invested and involved with the development of what it is to be human. So we're actually quite unique and quite rare in terms of the galaxy. Just the emotional components behind what we do and why we do it, and also that love aspect too. But to be in this physical three-dimensional experience is actually quite rare. So I do feel that there is the cloning side of things as well, the non-character players. And I think it also is, you know, that saying of, you know, we create our reality. So that might be true to one particular person, that they are perhaps a clone experiencing a lot of non-player characters around them in their environment. But if we're also looking at it from a quantum physics point of view too, and we're looking at it from, you know, the observer affecting the experiment, and if we're looking at it through the eyes of that we have hybrid DNA, or we are possibly, you know, different in a different way, we're going to get that show up more as our experience too. Does that make sense?
That is pretty weird. So wait a minute. I'm wondering, you know, how, I mean, everybody says perception's everything, but then you can also say, well, if perception's everything, then I could wake up one day and say, I'm going to believe I'm an ET. And the next day I could say, well, I'm going to live life as a hybrid. And I'm wondering which would be, do you think there is an absolute truth in the ability to choose your experience?
I think that we probably chose the experience long before we actually incarnated into the physical vessel. And I think that we maybe chose physical vessels according to our mission too. And I do know that in some of the abduction experiences, and in those that have physical things or traits that are perhaps like a little bit abnormal, like in my family line, you know, there was a few weird circumstances. Like my mom, she's a twin, yet her brother was fully cooked when he came out and she looked like a preemie. So it was said that you couldn't ovulate after being pregnant, that you can't get pregnant again. Yet it looked like her and her brother were a few months apart. And they've now found that that can actually be the case. Her appendix was on the wrong side of her body. They didn't get pregnant with me till 29. They thought that they weren't having kids, and they'd been together since I was 16. So there's like, sometimes you get interesting stories in the genetic side of the ET experiencer. And I think that's really encapsulated well in the series Taken that Steven Spielberg did with Dakota Fanning. That really goes into the physical abduction, ET genetic side of things. And I joke, I've got these really weird thumbs. I joke that, you know, they kind of look like ET thumbs. And I joke that they just gave me this stuff. She'll pass as human, just send her down. It'll be fine.
Right.
Yeah. So sometimes there is, you know, a couple of things that you're just like, there's, interesting energies. And even, you know, when I was born, my grandfather, who was the US Marine, he said to my parents, he's like, there's something really different about this one. There's something really special about her. And I said, he just didn't want to let me go. So I think sometimes there's not just a soul quality of being like an ET soul. I think sometimes we do actually have genetic differences. So some people will argue and say, you know, it's the Rh negative blood, or you have to have that to have the abilities and things, which is actually not true. You know, I'm O positive, don't have the Rh negative traits. And then some people are like, oh, well, you must have like it manipulated in on an ET DNA level. And I think that where I'm going, where my study and research was going in terms of the psychic side of things and my interest in the brain, in neurohacking and neuroplasticity, I'm just going to keep working at how do we become limitless? How do we unlock this, not just human potential, but how do we unlock this inherited ET star potential that we have, or this soul potential that's within us as well?
I love it. Yeah, and you're doing a great job of it. I mean, everybody needs to check out soulrita.com, which we're going to link to, as well as your show on YouTube. I mean, you're doing so much. You can try to get a reading with her. The world is going to, we'll see what happens. You can book far out, but yes, it is. We're moving into a density where Soulrita's just booked all the time is where really what it comes down to. But it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I mean, I'm so grateful for life and the way that everything's unfolding, but it really is like stepping up to your soul mission. But yeah, I just feel so blessed. And it's really interesting. My clients are like, this just came at the exact time, because I'm on another show called Beyond Mystic with Jean-Claude. And, you know, everyone says, I can't believe that, like, when I heard you on the show and I booked that far into the future, and, you know, everyone's like, yeah, it'll be divine timing, but it actually is. So it's just, that's the way that it works. That's how the magic works.
Oh my gosh, Dan, no, this has definitely been a very magical experience tonight. I am, yeah, I'm gonna stay in peripheral vision, hopefully forever. Yes, I appreciate, I really appreciate you coming on, Sarita. This has been awesome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I was really looking forward to this conversation, just the short couple of times that we've met doing the conferences, and just,
Yeah.
it's just see your journey and just how everything's unfolding for you. It just, yeah, it makes me so happy to see you living your purpose.
Oh, thank you, Sarita. Likewise, likewise. Sarita Antaria. Go to sarita.com. It's got everything there. It's a pretty cool website. Trips me out every single time I go there. Hey, are you an extraterrestrial? Maybe a starseed? I want to know your story. Talk to me. Send me a message directly at the Greg Bornstein on Instagram. Let's shake things up. Let's change the word thought to stand for that hybrid over there. It's all about branding. All right, I'll talk to you soon. Much love.